Aversion is a form of bondage. We are tied to what we hate or fear. That is why in our lives the same problem, the same danger or difficulty will present itself over and over again in various prospects, as long as we continue to resist or run away from it instead of examining it and solving it. And that quote comes from Patanjali. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. The difficulties faced by humankind at the hands of the so-called ruling elite are quite vast and quite numerous. And though they are deemed to be all-powerful, and we often live in great fear of what they may inflict upon us, the question as to how powerful they really are is one that I believe seriously needs to be examined. And one really must question how much of the power that we perceive these people to hold is in fact illusionary, and how much of the power is inflicted upon us through the use of spells, word magic, and by controlling our belief system. And that's something that I'd like to talk about on the show today. And as mentioned in the opening quote by Patanjali, it appears that mankind continually stumbles over the same problems because we fail to address these problems. We simply try to avoid them instead, but we never really address them, and so they keep coming back a little bit worse than what they were before. And I would suggest that this is how consciousness works in order to teach us the lessons that we need to learn. And of course, we're not going to learn the lessons by avoiding the problems. We need to face the problems head on. We need to examine them and we need to solve them. And we certainly have a lot of them today in 2013. And probably the most disconcerting thing about it is that most of the dangers and difficulties we have come from the people that we have employed to manage our societies, namely our government, our public trustees, those who sit in office to manage our infrastructure for us. They seem, rather than managing our infrastructure in a way that benefits us, to spend most of their time designing legislation to remove things from us, namely our freedoms, our possessions, our liberty, our health, our education, our knowledge, and eventually, I would suggest, our lives. And that, unfortunately, is the nature of most governments in the world today. But hopefully that is a situation that is about to change, my friends. The world is waking up to the fact that they're being scammed. And they're waking up to the fact that they actually hold all the power. Because though the ruling elite do hold the reins of economic power in the world, and though they do control the world in a great many aspects, it is a very thin and tenuous grasp that they have upon their empire. And I think the people of the world are waking up to that. And indeed, folks, it becomes evident by the sheer amount of effort that these people go to control us and to contain human consciousness, that in fact what they are doing is mostly out of a need to do it. You see, they've been in control of the world for a very long time, but no matter what they do to completely lock human consciousness down, we keep fighting back and we keep diverting ourselves from the course, because that is the nature of human consciousness. Human consciousness and human intelligence is very, very resilient, folks, and no matter how much you try to lock it down, it just continues to rise. And so, yes, I would suggest that a lot of what the ruling elite or the so-called Illuminati do to lock us down is a matter of necessity. And I want to talk about that a little bit today as well. And I think one of the biggest tools that they've had has been the media and the way they have created a myriad of conspiracy theories to divert attention away from the existence of the ruling hand, but they've also used the media and the alternate media especially as a method of promoting themselves as being far more powerful than they are to those people who know that they are actually there. Of course, a lot of the people in the mainstream wouldn't even notice this stuff, and they don't believe that there is a ruling hand. But for those who know that the Illuminati is actually real, to these people, they have managed to promote an image of themselves which is all-powerful. This is a very good way of controlling the opposition. It's a subtle form of mind control because, as I said, even though they rule the world economically and even though they are attacking us and they have the ability to carry out many of the nefarious activities that they do carry out and are responsible for many of the destructive influences we see in the world today, such as the GM food and the chemtrails, the transhumanism, the wars, control of the economic system, all of the things they do, ultimately they only hold the power that they hold while people believe the system that they have created is real. Because it's actually fiction, folks. It's just a paper-based reality. And the real power lies with the people because it is the people who have the power to, any time they like, simply stop complying with the system, to see it as fiction and to step away from it. And that is the great fear of the ruling elite. The fear that people will perceive that the power behind the curtain, rather than being an all-powerful beast, is in fact a little man on a footstool, and that the masses of the world will one day discover their true power. Because were they to do so, then they could quite conceivably change the world in the twinkling of an eye. You see, the thing is, folks, in order to have power in the world today, all you really need to do is to generate the illusion of power, the illusion that you are an all-pervasive hand. And you can do this via control of the money system, folks, because when you control the money system, you can simply project anything you want into reality by greasing the right palms along the way. And the ruling hand have managed to do it by co-opting almost every aspect of human consciousness. They've managed to co-opt the entertainment industry, the news industries, the music industry, the art industries, all the things that people do to gain information and knowledge in their lives, all the things that people do to gain education in their lives, all the things that people do for art, all the things that people find attractive in their lives and that people do for aesthetics and entertainment. The ruling hand have managed to project themselves into all of those businesses and into all of those industries. Through control of the finances, they've very much used the music industry and the entertainment and movie and television industries to subliminally program people from a very young age. We can see this blatantly in the pop industry. We can see that it's designed to break down the family unit and to create division between the sexes. That seems to be the main purpose of the music industry, and the movie and television industry is mainly about programming children and making sure the programs are maintained through adulthood. And that's very easily done, folks. All it requires is a monopoly on the entertainment and media industries, because if you control all the news that's going out, if it comes from simply one source, then you can control what it is. And it's the same with the music industry, because now that it's a very, very controlled industry run by very, very few companies, you're able to control the content of the music clips and you're able to control what sort of people get to make it in the music industry, and therefore you can control what sort of image they're projecting into the minds of the people who consume the stuff. But also through doing this, they give the illusion that they control every aspect of your lives. They let you know they're there, because that generates not only the illusion of power, but also the illusion of hopelessness, the illusion that you are unable to do anything against something as vast as this terrible Illuminati, this terrible ruling hand that lets you know at every opportunity it can that it controls every aspect of your life. But you see, folks, if they actually did control every aspect of your lives, they wouldn't have to keep telling you that they do and making sure the program sticks. And they do. They tell you that they do at every opportunity. This is why we'll always see things like pop stars covering up one eye and giving the impression that they are controlled by the Illuminati, and to a certain extent they are, but they will give the impression that it's all pervasive, that it's everywhere, that it controls every aspect of your life. They will put pyramids with one eye on them everywhere, so that anybody who happens to have a diagram of anything with one eye is suddenly co-opted. For example, the drawing that I've got on the crow house, the picture of the head covered in machinery with one eye, this is something that I did back in 1989. And I did it because I was aware of the presence of a ruling hand and I saw how we were succumbing to the machine. But the thing is, to even draw that type of artwork now, people will say, oh, that's Illuminati because it only shows one eye. And anything that's got a pyramid in it, oh, this must be the Illuminati. Anything that hints or suggests at global unity, any suggestion that we should be one race living on one planet, we shouldn't have this nationalistic fervor controlling our lives, oh no, this man wants open borders, this is the Illuminati. You see, they've co-opted everything, every idea of unity that we can find, they have co-opted. Any form of artwork that we can find that would suggest enlightenment or higher consciousness or some type of global unity, they've co-opted that as well, so that if you look at it, you will perceive it as being some form of subliminal mind control put there by the Illuminati. They've managed to co-opt people's consciousness by convincing people that they are all-powerful. And they've done this by co-opting certain natural forms of art, natural forms of music, and natural forms of expression, and natural human desires, and they've molded them to mean something else. See, this is what they do. They create a copy of the original, only they make the copy mean the opposite of what the original actually was designed to mean. Every way humankind has expressed itself, they have created a copy of that expression, and they've convinced people that it means the opposite of what its actual meaning is. And they have managed to present an image of themselves whereby people believe there is nothing they could ever do against such an all-powerful and all-ruling and all-controlling hand. And through this methodology, they've been able to promote an air of helplessness and hopelessness within the minds of the people. But it's fiction, folks. It's an illusion. They're not really that powerful at all. The whole system that they've put in place is simply a meme. It's just an idea. And the only thing that gives it its power is our belief that it is so powerful. You see, we create what we believe. We can create the reality we believe is possible. I've often done talks where I've mentioned things such as the measurement problem, how we can change matter by observing it. We can literally create matter by observing it. If you look at the measurement problem, you see how electrons are everywhere. I mean, I've gone through it so many times, there's no point even mentioning it again. But you can see through even mainstream science that we can manipulate reality by our belief of what is possible. So if we believe the ruling hand is there, and if we believe that they are all-powerful and all-pervasive and there is nothing we can do about it, then that's the reality that we create. But you've got to understand that most of what they have created and most of what controls you is actually an illusion. It's an imitation of reality. And that's what they've managed to do through the whole system. They've managed to imitate reality and make it mean the opposite of what it does. And they've managed to achieve this mainly via the use of spells, word magic, geometry, and all of which has led to the most important thing, which is control of the belief systems of the people, most essentially via control of what people believe is real and what people believe is possible. And it's been very cleverly done, folks. It's been so cleverly done that you've got to really, really ask yourself where the whole thing comes from. And as I mentioned on the air a couple of weeks ago, or possibly even last week, I'm not sure when it was, when you really look at the methods that are being employed to lock us down and the methods that are being employed to push us towards transhumanism, the genetic modification of the food, the chemtrails, everything they're doing, it's so random, it's so disorganized, and it's so haphazard that you've got to understand that what they're performing is an experiment, and it's really an experiment that seems to be being carried out quite fearfully. It's almost as if they are hastily trying everything they can, throwing everything that they've got into the fray in order to change us, in order to keep us locked down. And they don't know what they're going to come up with, but they know they have to blanket us with a control mechanism from every possible aspect, and they have to co-opt everything and imitate everything and turn everything around on its head, and just see what they come up with. But they have to do it because people are waking up to the fact that, hang on a minute, hey, wait, this isn't right. This is not supposed to be like this. Reality is not supposed to be this way. This is not what I was born to do. It's a real awakening that people are going through, and rather than even being an awakening, it's a remembering. People are beginning to become functional again. They're beginning to become active again. They're beginning to remember that life is not supposed to be this way. They're beginning to remember that they're free and that we could mold reality into whatever we want as soon as we discover that freedom that exists within us, as soon as we discover who and what we are. And that's what's happening, folks. I really believe that's what's happening. And that's why they're pushing everything so hard. And one of the main things they like to push is deceit and distrust. Everybody is so distrustful of everybody else. And everybody, especially within the alternate research community, as I mentioned a few shows ago, is now attacking the other people within the alternate research community because it's all about division. It's all about deceit. It's all about distrust. And they really need to do this, divide and conquer, folks. And as I also said, a lot of people in the alternate research community find it a lot easier to attack people within the research community because they get results that way. And they do this because of the helpless and hopeless mindset that's been instilled into their minds by the apparently all-powerful ruling elite who they believe they cannot touch. They can only touch the people that are closer to them. And so they attack those in the alternate research community. Because, as I said, they get results and it makes them feel like they're achieving something. But I think the entire alternate research community needs to step back at this particular moment and really assess the situation and think about what we could accomplish as a movement were we to unite for a common cause, namely that of freedom for all of mankind. Because I think we have the ability to achieve that. I think for the first time in human history, we have the ability to achieve that. We can do it right now, here in 2013. We just have to be prepared to stand in the power of ourselves and to stop attacking and being so distrustful of each other. Because it's a program, folks. It's manipulation. It's mind control. It's a result of the predator mind. The mind that has superimposed itself over human consciousness, which causes the distrust, which causes the ego problems, which causes all of the division and deception that mankind is subject to. And I believe that we need to pause and really take stock of this situation because now is the time that we can affect positive change. All we have to do is pay attention. The thing is, folks, to realize that the power that they have is an illusion. It is just an idea. It only imitates power. And you look at the way they do it. The legal system actually imitates natural law. We've got legislation in place of natural law, but it does imitate natural law. The internet and mobile phones and all this sort of stuff, it gives us instant communication, but it's an imitation of the inner powers that we already have. So they take good things and they imitate them to turn them into bad things. And sometimes they do the opposite. They can pretend that something bad is something good. For example, collars and cuffs. These are things that are given to slaves. Metal collars are placed around their necks and metal manacles are placed around their wrists. But they imitate this with the collar and cuffs that a businessman will wear. They make it a decorative feature, so that you get used to being in collar and cuffs as you go off to work as a debt slave. And again, it's an imitation of another system and serves the purpose of keeping you immersed into a slavery system without you actually knowing it. And the all-pervasive hand that they have and the power that they hold is again really only an imitation of power. And they gain most of the power they have through people's belief that they actually hold this power. But again, folks, if they did really hold all the power, then they wouldn't be going to such extraordinary measures to lock us down. I mean, look at the smart meters that they're putting in everywhere. Again, it takes a lot of power to put these smart meters in and to control people that way. but they wouldn't be putting the smart meters in if they already had the power over us that many people believe they have. And they do it through compartmentalization of the system as well, folks, because the people who are installing the smart meters probably think that these things are a good idea. They just work for the power company. They don't know. They don't understand what the larger agenda is. So you can't go blaming the smart meter company. It's simply an electrical company attempting to maximize profits because the people within the company believe that that's what success is and that's what they are required to do. And in fact, if the company has been incorporated, if it's a corporation, then it is what they're required to do by law, because a corporation must maximize profits by law. That's how they work. That's why they are essentially psychopathic entities, because they will discard all of humanity if it means maximizing profits, because that's what the legal system tells them they have to do. So if there's anybody out there debating whether the legal system actually benefits mankind or is a detriment to mankind, then all they have to do is look at corporate law to put that debate to rest once and for all. Because legislation does not serve mankind in any way, shape, or form. So the maximization of profits and creating a good thing for your company is what they use to get people to do this stuff. But really what it's about is putting together a control infrastructure. That's what they're doing, folks. That's what the smart meters are for. That's what all of the things that they're doing are for. But we can put a stop to it all. We really can. We can stop it all. We can stop the rest of the infrastructure from being put in place, and we can take possession of ourselves again, take control of our own lives again. We can stop the little man on the footstool who believes he is all-powerful from gaining the control that most people believe he already has. And see, that's the thing, folks. We manifest our own reality. We create reality. And if we believe something is possible, if we believe power exists in the hands of these certain people, then we create that power. We create that reality. I mean, it's good to know that the system is there, and it's good to see what is being created. But it's not good to think that it's already been created and that the power that the people behind the scene hold is all-pervasive and is something that we cannot possibly stand up against. Because it isn't that yet, and it won't be that until we allow it to become that. But one thing we have to be careful of is how much of it we are creating by our belief that the power is already there. That's why I believe certain people in the so-called truth or alternate research community are being very irresponsible when they convince their audience that the ruling hand has more power than it actually has, because by claiming it has that power, you actually give it that power. There's a very wise old adage that says that when you assume the appearance of power, people soon give it to you. And it works the same for those who can present an image of power to their audience and to their listeners. Then the people who listen will soon perceive that power to be real and will attribute that power to the ruling elite. And that's one of the great dangers that we face, folks, because that is what generates that helpless and hopeless feeling and causes people to believe that there is nothing they can do. There is no point standing up against the system, and the best thing they can do is to buy ammo and keep their head down, when nothing could be further from the truth. We have to break out of this stigma, folks. We have to break out of this mindset that we've got, that we're just little people and we're not capable of doing anything remarkable. Because we are, folks. In fact, every revolution in history has been started through the actions of one single person, ultimately. And the greatest avalanche was begun by the movement of a tiny pebble. So we must never, ever think that we are insignificant, and we must never, ever think that we do not have the power to affect positive change. All we have to do is change our perspective and get involved in the world that we live in. And that's what I think we're going to see this year, because the awakening that I'm seeing all around me is remarkable. It really is. It's a slow awakening still. People are still just wiping the sleep from their eyes, and there are a great many who are still wondering exactly what's going on. But they are beginning to open their eyelids. That is the one important thing. They are beginning to see that all is not well. They just don't know quite what the problem is yet, and many of them don't understand the extent of the problem. But they're beginning to see that they're worth more than what the government and the system and the society convinces them of. They're beginning to see their self-worth, and that can only be a good thing. And it's important at this time in history for people to have faith in themselves, have the faith in themselves that they deserve. That's the thing, folks. We're taught to have faith in our Creator, that our Creator, God, Yahweh, Allah, whoever you want to call it, Jesus, anyone, will come and save us. But what if the Creator has faith in us, that we can do it, that we can wake up, that we are worth saving, and that we will demonstrate this by saving ourselves? Because I believe that's the truth of the matter, folks. As much faith as we put in the Creator, I believe the Creator has also put a great deal of faith in us. And I think the real danger is that we have lost sight of that. But as I said, folks, I think that is changing. I think people are beginning to have faith in themselves because they're beginning to wake up to the power that they actually hold. And that's something that I can't wait to see. I really look forward to the day when humankind simply stands up and says, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to take things in a different direction. And we're going to do it because we know who we are. We finally figured it out and we finally remembered where we're supposed to be going, and we remembered who and what we are. And we remembered that there is no hand on this planet that can control human consciousness. There is nothing that can ever keep it down. It wants to go to the next level, and that's where it's going. Because we are capable of so many great things, folks, all we have to do is realize our potential and have the same amount of faith in ourselves that our Creator has had in us for so long. And simply pay attention and get involved in the world in which we live. But I think it's break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for spending this time with me today, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, on numerous shows that I've done, I've made mention of the fact that geometry is one of the systems that is used to control people. And many people may wonder how this works, how geometry could be any type of control mechanism. And the thing is that geometric shapes actually set up energy fields that have an effect upon the organism and control you in various ways. Spires on temples and churches and the domes that you see on mosques, these set up certain energy patterns. They tend to collect and amplify energy. And so do the designs in streets. So do things like square corners, square walls, flat surfaces. Everything being made symmetrical. Everything made to look geometrically balanced. It sets up a certain energy field and a certain understanding. And it superimposes a certain version of reality over natural reality. And it's very, very subtle in the way it does this. But if you look at nature, nature is very, very non-symmetrical. It's very, very random. It's actually very structured when you look right into it at the sacred geometric level, on a cellular level. But taken as a whole, stepping back and looking at nature, it seems to be very disorganized, very non-linear, and very non-symmetrical. Whereas everything that we create is always very, very symmetrical. And this has the effect of locking consciousness into a very organized version of reality, where we tend to believe that reality should be organized, that every aspect of our lives should be organized, that every aspect of our system should be organized, and that reality is in fact very organized, very structured, very geometric, very symmetrical, and not random at all. Well, not on the surface anyway. I mean, it is very mathematical when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it and you start looking at sacred geometry and phi ratio, Fibonacci sequence. You realize that this all exists in nature at even a molecular level, and even in the way plants grow and the way shells are formed and all these sorts of things. But it's still very rare to find things such as flat surfaces, square corners, and things that are worked out according to what we would term basic shapes. I mentioned a few shows ago that kids at school are actually taught that basic shapes are squares, circles, triangles, rectangles. But really, these are not basic shapes. These are man-made constructs. And that basic shapes in nature are actually spirals and waves, and they follow set mathematic principles. And look, it's important to understand this, that even though nature is random, it follows mathematic principles. And seeing as how this is an energetic universe, and we are in a solar system and a reality here which follows set mathematic principles and celestial mechanics and all the things that this solar system does, then if you wish to affect the energy field of this solar system, then doing so by means of geometry would be a very effective method of doing so. Because simply by projecting this concept of flat surfaces and square walls and square windows and everything having to comply to a certain code and be designed to a set formula, what you do is you create a separation from reality, a separation from nature, and you effectively immerse human consciousness into a mathematical version of reality. You see, we've got a reality which is mathematical at the subatomic level, but when we perceive it in its entirety, it's random. It looks random and it feels random. But what we're doing from that reality is we are creating a reality which may be kind of random in the background, the way it's all slapped together, but on the surface it looks very, very geometrical and structured. So it's kind of, again, an imitation of reality, but it's been turned around. It's now backwards to what it was. As I said earlier, what we see here is a creation of copies, but all of these copies have been turned backwards. It's almost reminiscent of a mind attempting to reverse engineer reality to see how it's structured, to imitate it in every way that it can, and to create an opposite meaning for every aspect of reality that human consciousness is in contact with. And I know this is a big step for a lot of people to turn around and look at things from this perspective. It's a kind of a bizarre way to look at things. But if you can really step back and see what's going on here, it's almost like reality in every aspect of itself is being turned inside out, and everything that had a positive charge has been given a negative charge and vice versa. And as I said, it may be difficult to first grasp what I'm attempting to say here and to step back and really look at it. But if you really do, then you can see this. And so the question becomes, why would human consciousness be working so hard to mimic itself and to mimic everything in creation and to turn it around and to make it all upside down? What is actually going on here? Even with the whole corporate system, the straw man system, the birth certificate, the straw man that you're given that accompanies you through life, that represents you in the commercial world, this is an imitation of life. It's a dead entity that imitates your life. So the whole system that we've created is an imitation of reality. And realizing this is extremely empowering knowledge, folks, because when you can see how everything that is being created around us is literally mimicking and imitating that which is real, then you begin to see beyond the facade and you begin to be able to see that which lies behind it. And the facade exists in all forms. It isn't just the facade of the housing and the walls and the way we build things. I mean, everything looks like a Hollywood set, really, doesn't it? It's just this thing that looks good on the surface, but beneath it, it's very, very poorly structured, it's very random, and it's a very, very sloppy imitation of reality, of what should be if we were using natural building materials and doing things in a natural way. Things would be very different. But it's not only the way we build, it's also the legal system. It's just an imitation. It's just a facade. It's not real. It just exists on paper. It's an imitation of natural law, but it's actually the reverse of natural law, because natural law allows you to be who you are and legislation prevents you from ever being who you are. That's its purpose. And it's just another system of control that's been used to superimpose a false reality over actual reality and to trick you into believing that it's real. And this has been done with so many aspects of our society. It's been done through our education system. It's been done through everything around us. I mean, in fact, when you look at it, folks, you can see that every aspect of civilization is designed to remove from humankind the ability to ever be able to discover themselves and to ever be able to gain a realistic and natural and practical view of the reality in which they live. And like I said, it's kind of difficult to get your head around at first, but really when you look at how it's all been done and how it's all been put together and what a cheap, haphazard, slap-together imitation this whole thing is, then you begin to see how easily we could change things, because all of this stuff, folks, is a facade. It's a house of cards. It's not real. It's just an illusion. It's just an idea. And we can step above it and step away from it and create a new reality and change this world anytime we want to do it. We just have to realize what it is. You know, and once we realize the power of ourselves and realize the beauty of ourselves, I mean, the sheer magnificence of the human body, the human creation, the human mind, what we are, there's nothing else like us that has the power to create that we have. Nothing that I've ever found. And sure, you can speculate that there may be all sorts of races out there in the universe. Well, whatever. Nothing in this reality that we have come in contact with so far can surpass us for creative ability. I mean, look at what we've done with the world. The whole mess that we're in, folks, we've created all of this. All the problems that we've ever had, we've created. All the buildings, all the structures, all the inventions, everything we've done, we've created. Whether it's been our mind or not, it doesn't matter. It's been us that's created it. The spark of life, the spark of energy that is life, is what has created all of this. And so once we realize that, we can see what a cheap imitation of ourselves is being fed to us as reality. And we can see the need to change it. And not only that, if we really look deeper, we can see the methods that we could use to change it. It's simply our power of creativity, folks. I mean, we can create any type of world we want once we discover our power. But there's no reason for us to allow ourselves to be subject or subservient to the imitation version of reality that is being pushed at us through the legal, political, social, and economic systems we've been taught to believe are real, because they are not. They are simply an idea, and a very bad idea too, folks. Or perhaps a very good idea, depending on how you look at it. If you're looking at it from a perspective of those who wish to control the world, then yeah, it's a stupendous move on their part. But if you're looking at it from our perspective, then it's a very horrible idea, and it's about time we changed it. Simply because we have the power to do so. And that's the important thing. Not only do we have the power to do so, folks, we are the only ones who can possibly do it. It has to come from us. So I think it's about time we stepped up to the plate before things get any more serious. I mean, we've certainly sort of pushed our luck this far, I think, folks. We've let them get away with a fair bit, and I don't think we should let them get away with too much more. But the interesting thing is how much they have to try, how much they have to push, and how much effort they have to make to try to keep human consciousness locked down, and that no matter how much effort they make, we keep doing things. We keep changing the playing field. We just keep going off and doing our own thing. Because that's what we do. We create. And when we find ourselves backed into a corner, we create a new corner. We create a way out. We invent stuff. We just invent our lives as we go along. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. Very often we're taught that, no, you don't do that. You get a diary. You structure your life. You plan your holidays. It's all got to be like this, this, and this. And it's all got to run like clockwork. You've got to be here at 1 o'clock and there at 2 o'clock and there at 3 o'clock. And then you've got to catch a plane here and you're going to spend X amount of time enjoying yourself. You've got 7 minutes to catch a bus here, and then you've got 1 hour for dinner, and then you've got this, and then you've got that, and you're going to go and see the sights and see all the stuff that's designated as fun stuff for you to do. This is what we do. We plan our holidays and we come back from the end of our holidays and we're absolutely exhausted. I don't plan anything, folks. I just don't plan anything. I just go with synchronicity and I see where it leads me every day. And that way I'm never disappointed. And it always leaves room for stuff to happen. Because most of the stuff that's happened in my life, folks, if I'd made plans, then I wouldn't have done all the things that I have done, because I would have had other plans. And very often people do this. They will make plans and they will miss out on the synchronicity because they need to live up to the parameters that have been set by the mundane system that they have been involved in for so many years that they don't even realize they're involved with. But I think that if people can step back and really start looking at things differently and start looking at their lives, most importantly, and asking what purpose their life actually has working within the parameters of this system, then perhaps we can start to change things and people can start to live a little bit more spontaneously and start understanding that the synchronistic events are there in their lives if they don't attempt to structure their lives. And again, folks, this is what we're getting back to, the way we try to structure everything. We try to make sure that everything and every aspect of our lives is mathematically perfect and fits within the parameters and the structured system that we have worked out for ourselves. And then very often we get extremely frustrated when it doesn't happen. And again, folks, really when you look at it, the question becomes why? Why would we choose to think in such a mathematical and structured way or believe that we had to live our lives in such a mathematically structured way? Because it seems very, very alien to the rest of reality. Reality is only mathematically structured at the molecular level, but on the surface, on the appearance, when you step back and take in the whole picture, it's very random, it's very non-symmetrical, it's very non-linear, but it all flows beautifully within itself. But again, you look at the structure of human lives and you find that beneath the surface, people have all this stuff buried. It's very, very haphazard and random. But on the surface, it appears to be very structured, very symmetrical, very linear. And folks, this is because of the system, the structured system, which is also backwards, that has been superimposed over human consciousness. Because what we find is that mankind is acting in exactly the opposite way of what they should be. Because we are made up of the stuff of all the rest of creation, folks. We are only mathematical, structured, linear, and geometric on a subatomic level. But to live our lives in the correct way and to live our lives in a state of Dharma and to be ourselves to our fullest potential, we need to be random. We need to follow the synchronicity. We need to see the opportunities and the experiences and the events that life is laying out for us. But very often many people are unable to see these synchronistic events and they're kept away from them because they live within societies that are so structured. They live within cities that are so structured. Everything's square, everything's grid pattern, everything's geometric. Everything's designed to remove them from nature, to teach them that the structure of a city is natural, it's all made from basic shapes after all, and to thereby disconnect them and to immerse them within an energy field which is the exact opposite of what nature should be. Couple that reality with the reality of the electromagnetic soup that people are forced to swim in these days. We've got mobile phone technology and microwaves everywhere. And then, of course, another major aspect of it is the biological systems that have been put in place to keep us locked down and to keep us disconnected. And this is done through the food and the toxins that are ingested by most people, because most of these toxins and biological agents that are introduced into people create fungal growths within people. These fungal growths lock down your endocrine system, they lock down your DNA, they lock you down in all sorts of aspects, and they feed mainly from sugar, which is why we find sugar is placed into almost everything that you buy from a supermarket. It contains sugar, and it's there to feed the fungal growths that have been purposely introduced into human biology. There's actually a man that I'm thinking about having on the show in the next couple of weeks who is doing some major, major work in an effort to reduce these fungal growths. He's got an incredible understanding of the human body, and I want to get him on the show to talk to you a little bit about it, because he has discovered that most of the diseases that we face are all a result of various types of candida, and these candidas are all fungal in nature, and it is the fungal growth that locks down your body and also ends up stealing most of the food and nutrients that people feed themselves because of the way these funguses superimpose themselves over our system. It's actually quite fascinating. So I plan to have him on to talk about that sometime in the next few weeks. But that's another very, very major aspect of it, folks, the biological agents that are used to keep you locked down. As I mentioned previously, the electromagnetic agents are also very, very significant because your body is an electromagnetic being. More than anything, you are electromagnetic. Everything you experience is electromagnetic. And so you are, of course, able to be interfered with electromagnetically. And of course, another major way people are kept locked down is through their belief system and the propaganda that they are fed by the nightly news. This has been a very, very effective method, and they've achieved wondrous and very noticeable results with this propaganda system. But folks, being aware of all of these things is 80% of the battle. It really is. And when you are aware of all these things, you start to change the way that you live your life, and you start to lead by example in the things that you do. And this is one of the major things that wakes up the people around you. I mean, you can scream fear, paranoia, and New World Order at people all you like, but unless they can see something in your life that they are attracted to and something that they wish to emulate, then they're not really going to listen to you. So you have to demonstrate how much this knowledge has empowered you, how much you've been able to change your life because you have the information that you are attempting to bring to them. They need to see how much of a difference it's made in you, and they need to see something positive from it, because if you just go and scream fear at people, then they're just going to see you as a paranoid person, and they're not going to want to get involved with any of the information. They're not going to want to have any deeper understanding of reality because they're not going to see it as anything beneficial to themselves. Unfortunately, people are taught to think that way. See, they've been so brutalized and so disconnected by this society that they're only looking for things which will alleviate the subliminal pain that they all feel. They're only looking at things that will affect their own lives in a positive way. Anything else? Nope, don't want to know about it. Too busy trying to figure my own life out. Thank you very much. And that's the way people act, because that's the way people are trained to act, because that's the way people have been trained to be and taught to be. I mean, human consciousness has been shattered and brutalized and fractured and told up is down and black is white and left is right and good is bad for so long that most people really don't know what's going on at all. And so you really can't be too hard on people, and you can't really be too hard on society for being in the state that it's in, because people can only ever fix a problem if they know that a problem exists. And if they're trained to always laugh at a problem and they're programmed not to see it, well, you can't blame them if their reaction is a little negative. And that's why very often it's no good trying to even tell the problems to people. The best thing you can do is to lead by example in all that you do. And the only way you can really do that is if you have an understanding of what's going on. So when you can really step back and look at the world and see how deceptive everything actually is, see how distrustful people are trained to be. And people are very distrustful of any information that challenges their belief system. Of course they are. They're trained to be that way. They're caught in programs. Most people are running insecurity programs where they see any other perspective as their own to be a threat to their perspective. So they tend to invalidate everybody around them, and they get locked in their own little bubble. And you've got to see this. You've got to see how it works. You know, step above it and really look and see how the programs run. See how everything has been created to imitate itself. Everything has been created to imitate reality and to turn it up on its head and to create an entirely different reality, a reverse reality, almost like a negative reality in a positive world. And as I said, it's very, very fascinating to see how what we attempt to do to reality appears to be an effort to reverse engineer reality, to reverse engineer life, to find out how it's constructed so that we can find a way of creating life from a test tube, life from a machine, life from chemicals in the rocks from the ground. We want to know how to put that God spark into something. And so we search for the God particle, hoping that once we find this, we can build something using the God particle that will actually have life. But we're just not looking at things from the correct perspective. And I believe that if people really look inside themselves, they'll find that what I'm saying and the connection to that spark and the connection to reality, it isn't something that they have to look for. It's something that's already there, and it's something that they know is there. They've simply forgotten that it's there, and they've forgotten where to look and how to use it and how to communicate with it. But no matter what this system does, and no matter what the predator mind that has superimposed itself over our consciousness attempts to do, we still keep bouncing back. And I believe that we will eventually wake up to ourselves. We will remember who we are. And I think that we are in the process of doing that right now. That's what I think this time is, folks. That's why I think it's such an important time in history. That's why a lot of us are here, I think, my friends. I think a lot of us are here to help remind people of the realities of the world, to help remind people of who and what they are, and to help remind people that there is a way out, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Indeed, it's all about the tunnel, really. The tunnel is the experience. The tunnel is how we do it. The tunnel is how we find ourselves, how we create the reality we want to create. All we need to do is have the faith in ourselves that our Creator has in us, and we can affect positive change. And I think we need to think about that, folks, because we place so much faith in external sources that may be coming to save us. But what about the faith that these external sources and the consciousness itself may possibly have in us? I mean, we were created for something, and perhaps that something was to rediscover ourselves. And I think we're on the verge of doing that, folks, if we can simply pay attention and get involved. And I think that's probably it for the show today, folks. We appear to be out of time now, so I'm going to have to leave it there. Please think about some of the things that I've said today, because it's important that we really, really step back and view reality for what it is, and realize the power that we have to change things, and realize and begin to see this false reality that has been superimposed over our consciousness. Because we're so far removed from what we should be, and it is such a long way back. We can do it, but we have to find the correct sequence, because it's been done sequentially. We've been brought to this point by a series of sequential events that have brought us to where we are right now. And what I believe we are in the process of doing is finding the code to reverse that sequence and undo it and put us back to what we should be. That's what we've got to do, folks, and that's a lot of what the project that I'm attempting to put together this year is all about. That is the Full Circle Project, because I believe it is time to go full circle back to what we should be. But that is it for me, folks. Thank you to anybody who has ever helped with the website or made a contribution. I can't thank you enough. I'm very much in your debt. I appreciate every cent that everybody gives, because times are very difficult at the moment, and the site would not continue were it not for the support you've shown me, so please accept my humble thanks. I'm actually going to attempt to get some cheap t-shirts or something on there as a bit of a fundraiser soon as well, so look out for that one, folks. I'll keep you posted if I can do something about that. But thank you again for any contributions that anybody have ever made. As I said, it's the only thing that keeps the site going, and it's certainly the only thing that keeps the show on the air. But yes, that is definitely it now, folks. Thank you for joining me on the show today. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In Lakesh.